I used to do jokes. I used to make shit up, you know? Like, I had jokes about how, like, I bought a sword off of the television, you know? And, like, because I was drunk, and, like, what do you do with that sword? That never fucking happened. But it was my best joke, you know? And I remember thinking, like, oh, I'll never write a joke as good as that sword joke. I was, like, 23. Thank you for having me.
If you don't know, that's the voice of comedian Brooks Whelan.
Let's have some fun, guys. I was 26. I've been dating a girl for 7 years who I adore now. Like, I mean, we don't talk at all, but it's the only positive relationship I think I've ever had. So she's great, and I don't fault her for leaving. Like, I was so invested in comedy. It was a fucking, I was like, just like gung-ho comedy. It's all I thought about or cared about. And when she left, that's when I started writing about real shit, like my life. And like from, had like a point of view, and that like immediately worked. Like, I remember when I showcased for the Comedy Central's 10 comics to watch, it was like the night I was supposed to go to Europe with that girl, with the girlfriend of 7 years. And I was like, I was just open with that. I was like, I'm supposed to be going to Europe with my girlfriend of 7 years, but we broke up. So if anybody wants to come, I'll propose to you in Germany. And like, yeah, it was just like very honest for like a young dude. And then like literally like the next day, like Comedy Central was like, you should come in and we should talk. And I was like, cool. And then did that show. And then that led to like South Beach Comedy Festival, which led to Montreal, which led to Seth Meyers seeing me and SNL auditions. And then that led to writing for the show for 3 weeks. And then right before the season started, they're like, I'm going to put you in the cast. So it was cool. It was really quick. It was insane.
Today on the podcast, we're talking with Brooks Whelan to hear what it's like to be hired and then fired from Saturday Night Live. Welcome to the CISO C Show. I'm Andrew Steven. For many comedians, getting to perform at Montreal's Just for Laughs festival is a huge stepping stone.
It's huge until you do it, and then you're like, I can't believe I gave a shit, you know? But I mean, in all honesty, it's where, you know, SNL, like, saw me. So, you know, and you get Montreal once you're over it, I feel like, you know? Like, I had auditioned, like, 4 years in a row and was just like, fucking, who gives a fuck about this anymore? Which is what they like, you know? Like, I think I got it late which ended up helping so much, you know? Because I was just really, I had the fucking tightest 6 minutes on the planet. Like, to go to Montreal, like, at that time was perfect. Because, you know, it worked great. Like, you stood out and got SNL off of it, kind of, you know? Yeah, as soon as you quit giving a fuck. Like, because I mean, I'd already done like Adam Devine's house party. Like, I'd already recorded that. Like, I'd already done a set on television. I had the Conan set approved, you know, like, I was just like, if I don't get Montreal this year, they're fucking out of their minds. You know, that's how I went into it and just, you know, just didn't give a shit and just did, you know, my like Conan set, which, you know, they were like, yeah, you get to come to Montreal. And then I did it and it went great. And it was so fun. I've been back twice. It's always the most fun up there. But like, it's weird how quick, like right after you do, like Montreal is like all you think about before you do it. You know, you're like, I gotta hit fucking Montreal. Montreal callbacks are coming, man. Fucking, oh my God. I remember I'm really good friends with like Brent Morin, and he got it the year before I did. And I was just like, you know, on like G-chat with him or something. And he's like, yeah, I got it. And I was like, well, then you have that awful day of like, maybe I'm just last on the list they're calling because my name's Whelan, you know, and then it just goes away and you're just like devastated. And you're like, fuck, man, I got to write 6 new minutes by next year, you know? And then the next year comes around, you're like, oh, geez, that's no problem. But yeah, it was just cool. It was a fun time.
What happens next?
So I'd made a tape for them. I remember when I was working in the lab at Caltech, my new agent had hit me up. And they knew they were going to have a bunch of guys leaving. Like, SNL needs is going to have a big turnover. Would you want to make a tape? And I was like, yeah, I guess. I didn't really think that was in the cards for me. Like, because I'd gone to UCB. I took some UCB classes and saw how funny people really were. Like, these people should be on the show. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are fantastic characters and I can really only be myself. And I was like, oh yeah, sure. I'll make a tape. And then they were like, okay, you're supposed to do impressions and characters. And I was like, all right, I can't do fucking impressions. So I go to my manager's office and we record it. It's at Avalon. She's great. Her name's Kara Baker. She represents a bunch of great comics. She's like, she was like, just come to my office. We'll record it here with our shit, you know? And, so I just recorded it in her office, literally. And, the characters, I don't remember what the characters were. They were just so stupid. They were just fucking out there. Like, Terry Blades was Pomona's top prop comedian, and he was always on rollerblades. And his best friend Terry was there, who was played by my friend Rod Barry, who just laughed hysterically at everything Terry Blades did. And basically every prop was a telephone. And if he didn't get a laugh, he blamed Terry for it. He's like, you're fucking stepping on my lines. Really dumb shit. What was it? I think I did a shy bodybuilder. Maybe. No, that was for the actual audition. I did shy bodybuilder. I don't remember what the tape was. I know my impressions were, Adolf Hitler, if he was into troll dolls, you know, which like he had to set up a bunch of troll dolls before each speech. It was like, just one second, please. Let me just get out the troll dolls here. These little cuties. And then just comb in their hair, being like, you're so pretty. You know, like, so dumb. Did him. I did Jake the Snake Roberts, asking to be allowed to do children's birthday parties, you know? And he had a sack that was filled with PBRs because the government had taken his snakes. I did, what was the other one? Oh, Gallagher teaching people how to get into stand-up comedy. And he was just mad that people weren't smashing enough stuff. So, and I think that the normal tapes they get are, you know, like Matt Damon and fucking Bradley Cooper and all that. So I remember I was like sitting at the lab and I got like my manager called and she's like, it's a no from them. But they said it was like really weird. And I was like, they watched that? Like, I was really, it was surreal that even think the SNL had seen a tape that I had given them. That was crazy to me. And then, so that was like a year earlier. And then I do Montreal. And Seth Meyers is there and he's like, that guy's funny. And to the talent booker. And she's like, he's got a really weird tape. I remember this kid. And so I think they watched that and then had me audition. Actually, you know what? They wanted a second tape for real. And I couldn't do it. I was like, no, I just don't have that. This show is not just, it's just not going to work. I can't do a second tape. I tried and just wasn't, I was like, it's better if we don't send it. And, because I just couldn't do it. I was just like fucking at a loss, you know? Like I was trying to do real impressions then and it was fucking. But anyway, so they see me do stand up and then they have me audition out here in LA and Lauren's there and it went so well because I didn't give a shit. I was like, this is impossible. This is not possible for me to get this show. I remember everybody's so nervous backstage. It's at iOS. It's a bunch of like Groundlings people and shit. And I'm just like, what are you guys fucking nervous for? Nobody gets on this goddamn show. Fucking chill out. And I remember my friend Beck Bennett had like a little flask of vodka. I drank like half of it and like went out and like broke the mic stand on accident. Like it literally just like fell apart. That's how my set started. And I was like, shit. And I like took my time and just like put it back together and then like opened up. Like this was like a minute, I think, of like me just putting the mic together. And then I just opened with like, well, that was a gross misuse of my time and it just killed. And then it was just like off to the races, like just like a really great 4-minute set that I ended. But I just did stand up. I ended by being like, I don't know. I'll do some characters. Those are cute. You guys like those? Like just kind of just like whatever about the whole process. And got off. I remember I walked over to my girlfriend's at the Times place who lived close to Iowa West and like woke her up and was like, I think I might get on Saturday Night Live. And she was like, don't say that. Like literally she was like, don't fucking say that. It went so well. It was not representative of how good I was at comedy at that time. It was like next level shit. Like add the stars aligned. I was like, holy fuck. And then yeah, like the next day things were going cool with like MTV. I was going to be on this like MTV cooking show. I was at like a meeting. I was like at the point where I felt like I was going to be able to quit my engineering job pretty soon. And I was at like a meeting at like Little Dom's with the producers of that show who are cool, who were like, yeah, we want you to be on the show, you know? And then I found out how much money I was going to be making. And it was like not enough to quit my engineering job. And I was like, fuck. And I got a call from my manager. It was like, you're going to go to New York and like test for SNL. And I was like, holy shit. Like this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. I remember in Little Dom's at that time was oddly an odd assortment of comedians who I did not know, but I did know, you know, it was Paul F. Tompkins was there. I remember like going over to him and be like, dude, I just got to call him, go and test for SNL. He was like, wow, that's fantastic. Congratulations. You know, he's so nice. And then Nick Kroll was outside and I was like, Kroll, you don't know me, but I'm going to test for SNL. Like I just found out a couple seconds ago. I was like, holy shit. Cool, man. Yeah. I mean, I've tested, don't go over 5 minutes. And he was just like real nice about it. And then like Sean LaJoy was like walking across the street. I was like, Sean LaJoy, I'm going to like, it was just like a weird, yeah. All three of these dudes are just right there and like fucking noon on like a Tuesday or something. And then, yeah, then I fly to New York. Now I'm fucking nervous, man. Cause I'm like, holy shit. You know, this is for real. And the previously it had gone so well, you know, it had just gone so well. And I was like, okay. I remember being nervous. I took, I had like heard that, you know, TJ Miller gave me some cool advice over like what it's like, you know, cause he'd auditioned and stuff. He's like, you know, that you have to like sit around for a while and shit. So just be ready for that. And so I took like 6 beers up with me into my dressing room and was really nervous that they would, come in and I'd be drinking a beer. So I would like pour it. I took a Sprite up too and dumped the Sprite out and then would pour my like Keystone Light into the Sprite can. Yeah. And if they walked in, I'm like, well, I just didn't want you to think that I needed beer to perform, which I do because I'm terrified. And so I just sat up there for like 2 hours in this room. You're just fucking isolated, just jamming out to music. And then they're like, they're going to take a break. You'll be up first up after the break. And I was like, oh, how long is the break? And like, I don't know. It's like, oh, great. It's fucking forever just up there alone. I remember I went into some other people's, I was like walking into other people's dressing rooms, just being like, sup guys, you know, and they were not having it. Like they were like, we need time alone. And I'm like, I don't want to be alone. I don't want to fucking think about this right now. Like people were taking it way more serious than I was. And then I did the test. And I remember it went in my brain. I never watched it. I could have when I was there. They're like, do you want to see your test? I was like, no, bury it. I thought it went so poorly. Cause I was doing stand up, you know, it's different if people don't laugh at a stand up joke than if they don't laugh at a character. You audition on the stage where the host does the monologue. You know, I hadn't been on TV yet. I recorded my Divine's house party set, but that wasn't on TV. And then like, you're like, oh, go stand at the stage where Adam Sandler did Bruce Springsteen, you know? And you're just like, what the fuck, man? I'm taking time off of my engineering job. Come up here. They think I'm sick today. Like, so it's so surreal. It's so weird. It goes around I remember the camera guys were laughing at me, which is nice. I think they're like, we can give these guys a fucking break. What I perceived poorly. And I remember just like lamenting it and just being like, oh, that was awful. Like, and like, I knew Beck Bennett and Kyle Mooney and I was just bitching in their dressing room and they both had just like thought they'd done well. And they were like, Jesus Christ, man, relax. We just did well. I was like, did you guys get laughs? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, well, I didn't get any fucking laughs, man. So I was just freaking out. And I remember I go over and I was like packing my suitcase. I was like, just get me out of fucking New York. How neat that I got this far. And then got a call from my agent that was like, stay in New York. They want to keep you around for a few more days. I was like, oh, I wonder if that's everybody. And it wasn't. It was just like 8 of us, 10 of us. And I think like 20 people auditioned. And then, so then I stuck around for like 3 days and I'd had dinner with Lauren with a couple other people and that had gone great just cause I asked him a bunch of questions that I always wanted to, you know, like just, you know, like just what's up with Billy Madison, Tommy Boy, you know, what's going on? I love those movies. And he was like, well, I told him to lose the penguin. Like that was all he talked about, Billy Madison. He's like, I should lose the penguin. And I was like, oh man, I love the penguin. He's like, okay. You know, dude, I love fucking Hot Rod and MacGruber. It's so good. And he's like, well, I think we might make MacGruber 2. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah, dude. What about Hot Rod 2? And he's like, no. I know. That's what I told him. I was like, oh, man, me and my friends love Hot Rod. And he's like, well, the world isn't 25-year-old comedians. So I was like, oh, okay. I was like, I remember I was sitting next to Beck And it's so weird. Like, and it's just, it was just very odd. You know, Lauren just comes over, sits down right next to us. It's fucking weird. Talk, you know, we talk about music. He's like, you know, what type of music do you like or whatever? And I was like, you know, you should have on the show is Arcade Fire, because it's right before Reflector came out. And I didn't know that they had like literally booked Arcade Fire that day for the opening. And so in his brain, he's probably like, this kid gets it, you know, like spot on, you know, what I don't know, whatever that guy thinks. But so that was cool. Those meetings went fun. You know, I just wasn't scared in them. I was just like confident. It, like when I was 26, I was crazy confident, psycho confidence. And then on my 27th birthday, I get a call. Things are going well. I didn't think I got SNL, you know, because they announced like they hired four new people. And like that got announced and I was like, oh fuck, I didn't get SNL. Whatever. That was cool. It's a cool experience. And I'm like waiting to go meet with like some head of ABC casting or something like that. I'm like on another break from my fucking engineering job, which I had gone back to. I'd quit cause I thought I might get SNL, but I didn't tell him I quit. I just stopped going in and I kept getting paid. But I remember I just showed back up once I realized I didn't get SNL and they were like, where have you been? I was like, what are you talking about? I've been around. It was a real small operation. I love that job. It was a startup company and my boss was really fucking cool. He was really cool. I remember the thing, once I did quit, they called and they're like, we're surprised with how much you actually did do. We were going through your shit. You actually were, this is very good, you know, because I had come from like a major engineering company to the startup. So I was the only one who knew like a lot about how to document shit, you know, like lab notebook etiquette and stuff like that for, you know, FDA approvals and stuff like that. So I brought like a lot of knowledge of like how things should be done. But anyway, so I show back up that day. I'm like, oh no, I never quit. I'm back. And my boss was like, well, we need to have a meeting. I think you should go part-time. You know, can't keep paying you full-time when you're fucking never here. I was like, yeah, I get that. And then I'm I do have to go right now. I got a meeting at ABC. He's like, okay. And so I go, I'm like waiting. It's my birthday. And I get a call from fucking some New York number. I was like, answer it, you know, and it was the talent producer or whatever. And she's like, hey, you're going to come, you're going to be a part of the show. We don't know in what capacity. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Be a part of the show? You don't know how? She's like, well, at the minimum, you're going to write this season. And I was like, well, that's fucking great. She's like, just don't tell anybody, but yeah, you got to move here. Like you start Tuesday. I was like, this is on maybe Wednesday. And I was like, okay. And then hung up and then like, they're like, well, the ABC people are ready to see ya. And I was like, okay. And I like walked into this meeting, like just found, like literally just found out I got hired to go write at SNL and like sat down and they were like, so how's it going? You know, how's Montreal? I was like, it's pretty good. It's fun. Have fun time. And they're like, yeah, well, you know, what, you got any ideas or what, you know, what do you want to do? And I was like, I don't know. I got hired to go write at Saturday Night Live. I got to leave right now. And I just told them and left. And then I left and I was very excited. I quit my job. I remember after I got fired from SNL, I had the same meeting with those ABC people like almost a year later. Exactly. And I was like, very different circumstances. But yeah, then I went and moved to New York. Literally the first day as I roll in, I walk in, I flew in late because I was shooting this thing for Comedy Central for some money. And I needed money to move to New York. I didn't have a bunch of it, even though I'm engineering, I'm spending all my money just fucking on whatever, going to Hawaii with random girls and stuff. And so I come in, I show up, it's late at night, like my suitcase, which I don't even have a suitcase, I just have a backpack. Just fucking roll in, because I was like, I'll go back on our first break and pack up that week and move out for real. And go to 30 Rock, be like, hey, what's up? I work here now. It's probably 6 or 7 at night. And they're like, what? I was like, I don't know. I got to go upstairs. It's the 17th floor. I write for Saturday Night Live. And I go, okay. So they give me my thing. And I go up there and they show me an office. And literally, I don't even remember who showed it to me. Probably the talent producer. She just like showed it. She's like, hey, glad you're here. You know, this is the writing guy right here, you know? And then he shows me my office. He's like, oh, there's your computer. We're going to do 2 sketches tonight. Just go ahead and write 2 sketches and you can go home. And I was like, what? I don't even know how to fucking turn the computer on. Like, do you guys have Final Draft? And he's like, no, we don't use that. No one explains shit to you. It's like two fucking sketches. Okay, here we go. I've never written a goddamn sketch, which also heads up to everybody out there. If you ever get hired to write at Saturday Night Live, don't tell the other writers you've never written a sketch before. Cause they kind of don't like that. They're like, what? We've been writing sketches. This has been we wrote so many sketches to get here and you just fucking tripped into it. I don't remember what I wrote. I don't recall. I think I might've written, I don't remember. They weren't good. I think they were just general ideas I'd had. Maybe one was for, I always was wondering who came in second place to Pabst Blue Ribbon, you know, cause it's like I think I wrote Frinkle's Red Ribbon Ale that day. It was an advertisement for the beer who got second to Pabst and some other bullshit sketch. I don't know. And they were like, Seth's going to stop by. And I was like, probably not that one. Right. And then fucking 10 minutes later, knocking the door, Seth Meyers rolls in. Hey, what's up? I'm like, hello, person from the television. He sits on the couch, talks to me for like a half hour. He's the nicest fucking person I've ever met in my life. The guy rules. He's so fucking cool. And then he just, you know, he's like, you figured out it's a good place. I don't remember that meeting very well just cause I was like, in shock. And he bounces and then I write two sketches, turn them in, go home. Like, what the fuck was that all about? You know? And then thus begins an insane year. I write for a few weeks. I write there for those 3 weeks, write some getting funnier ideas, starting to collaborate with some people, which is way more fun. Writing with people like Michael Che and I would write together a lot and Tim Robinson and Zach Cannon. Those guys are just writing with really funny people. And then start collaborating and it's fun. I'm having fun writing, you know, writing funnier sketches. I remember I wrote probably the best sketch I wrote by myself was about a lawyer who specializes in returning, getting back and destroying your real world submission tape. Cause he's like, look, we all made one. All right. You can't have that out there anymore. Like everyone has submitted to be on it. And he's like, you don't want those tapes out there. You're a surgeon now, you know, can't have that. Anyway, I don't know what happens. Just go and have a meeting with Lauren. He just talks like, how do you like living in New York or whatever? And I was like, I love it. You know, this is very exciting. Thank you. Cool meeting, you know, whatever. Don't really think about it. And he was kind of like, yeah, well, you know, you'll probably end up in the cast eventually. You know, you're very green. He told me he was very green. I remember thinking like, no, I'm not. Look, yes, I was. I'd never been on television. And so I left being like, wow, that's crazy. He said, I'm going to be in the cast eventually. It's fucking nuts, you know? And then literally the next day, they're like, hey, Lauren wants to see you again. I was like, okay, cool. We go in. This is a Friday before the started the new show on Monday. And he was just, I knew it was different because he got up and met me in the middle of the room. And he was like, so you're going to be in the cast now? I was like, oh, right now? Okay. And then I remember he's like, you're going to have to shave. And I was like, no, dude, no deal. That's a deal breaker. Like, just fucking round. Because I told you, it's stupid, filled with confidence. And he was like, no, well, you have to shave. And I was like, no, I know. I'll pull my fucking facial hair out right now, dude. Of course I'm going to shave. What are you talking about? I'm not being for real. Cause he was like, Danny's the only one we let have a mustache. I was like, Danny, who the fuck? I was like, and then like looking back, I was like, it's talking about Dan Aykroyd. I don't know what, you know? And then so then I'm in the cast and it's insane.
A new set of army regulations could soon ban soldiers from getting tattoos below the elbow or knee. This news has many soldiers rushing out to get these tattoos before the looming cutoff date. To comment on tattoos is our very own Brooks Whelan.
Hey.
Hey, buddy, good to see you. Thank you for coming.
Thanks, Seth. All right, I just wanted to tell everyone out there rushing to get tattoos to please stop and think about it for a minute. Trust me, I've made some poor decisions in my life. I've been fired over questionable tweets. I locked myself in my own car trunk once. I fell off a roof twice. But none of these mistakes even come remotely close to this mistake. The Anthony Kiedis tribal stamp. Oh, yeah, 17-year-old Brooks. You'll love the Red Hot Chili Peppers forever. Those lyrics will never grow tiresome. How's that one song go you love so much? Oh, it's Bing Bong to Ding Dong. Great.
Well, I have to say that, Brooks, if that's your only tattoo, that's not too bad.
I wish it was, Seth. It's not. Because right after I got that bad boy, I went out and picked up a nautical star.
Oh, no. So I have to ask, what is the significance of a nautical star?
Oh, interesting you should ask, because it means nothing, Seth. I really don't care about sailing, and I'm not even into the color red. The only thing it means is that I shouldn't be trusted with my own thoughts. You would think I would learn a lesson from these two things, but you would be wrong, because immediately after these guys, I went out and got this bad boy on my side.
Oh, my God, Brooks.
Yeah, it's a seascape on my body. Which might make a little bit of sense had I not grown up in Iowa, having never once seen an ocean before. I just walked into a tattoo parlor and was like, I bet I'm an ocean guy. It would make more sense if I got the Mississippi River with a Busch Light can floating down. Because that's how I was raised. But nope, it's an ocean. And there's a whale on the bottom of it. Oh, high school Brooks, you're the coolest guy in town. It's gonna be great being uncomfortable in public pools for the rest of your life.
How did you even come up with that design on your side?
I drew that one in 9th grade.
Were you an art student?
Nope, not at all. But I thought, what better sketchbook than my own human body?
Well, I like it. I like it.
You don't have to say that, Seth.
Okay.
Because I know you don't mean it.
I don't.
Look, all I'm saying is put some thought into your tattoos, guys. Don't just get one to get one. Make sure it has some meaning.
So does this mean you're done getting tattoos?
I think I have room for one more. I think I'm gonna get the lady from Avatar.
Oh, like the blue Navi?
Nope, Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, Brooks. Brooks Whelan, everybody, give it up.
I think I went like 10 weeks and I got blanked without getting a sketch on. I was like, this is bad. And then after Christmas, I started to figure it out. You know, it's just like whirlwind. I mean, this show's so hard. I'm in a shit relationship. And it's just like, New York's killing me. I'm just like so stressed out all the time. And just like, fuck, it's so hard. It's just like killing me. But I'm starting to figure the show out and, you know, hopefully gonna, you know, figure it out, get better at it. And I started to get better at it. I think like the last 7 shows, I got like 6 things to dress. You know, I think only maybe one of them made it on or something, but still I was like, I'm writing better. I'm figuring the show out. I hopefully, you know, we'll get another year at this. And that was the hope leaving on the final episode. I remember I wasn't even in the final episode. That was rough. Like just not in it. And I remember like pleading, like, let me do an update. You gotta let me do an update. Like not to Jost. I was like, cause Jost was in charge. Seth had left. And I was like, I gotta do an update. I gotta kill. If I'm going to come back, I need to have a good update. And when that, I remember getting a text from Jost at like 3 a.m, like Saturday morning, or maybe it was even 4 a.m. Cause I was still up, you know, jamming. Cause you can write weekend updates up until like fucking noon on Saturday. And I got a text. I was like, it's not going to happen. Sorry, man. And that's when I was like, fuck, I think I might get fired. Like that was the realization of like, this sucks. And, but then, you know, you leave and you have a little bit of hope. But then I remember, the day of the renewals, I got a call from my manager and agent, and I was like walking down Houston, and they're like, hey, what's up? And they were like, it was like real somber. Like they're usually like, hey, how's it going? They're like, hey. And I was like, oh shit, did I get fired? And my manager's like, no other way to say it, dude. So that was tough. So I stayed in New York for like 7 more months, just fucking doing stand-up. I mean, that's what made my stand-up better than ever, though, was, you know, rejection of SNL, of like, I'm not, if the world only saw me through that show, they would have every right to believe I wasn't funny. But if I become really great at stand-up and put out a really great album, like they'll like see like, oh no, this guy is funny. The show just wasn't right for him, which is what I believe.
After his contract wasn't renewed, Brooks Whelan sent out a memorable tweet.
Yeah, I got fired, and I mean, I tweeted fired from, I was cool about it. I didn't want to be a dick to the show. I was like, ah, I had a great time, totally honored to be able to make this joke. And then I like all caps, like fired from New York at Saturday night. And that like got a ton of traction. I think that was the most, That was like the biggest thing that happened from the fucking show. None of the sketches I did, but just the way I handled getting fired. And that, you know, that like, I don't think the show was mad. I think I did get like a call. I was like, you weren't fired. You just weren't renewed, you know? And I was like, fuck off. You can't tell me what to do anymore. You know, I was mad at the show. I'm not mad at it anymore. That's for sure. Appreciate the time I had there. And like, I go back, I have a lot of friends who's still there, you know, and like, it doesn't give me anxiety like it did for about a year. It fucked me up. If the place will tear your confidence apart, man. Like I left here thinking I was the funniest 26-year-old on the planet, 27-year-old. And then I came back like, I don't know if I'm fucking funny, man. I just for 9 months was told I wasn't funny, like in the place where I wanted to be funny. And that was rough. So it took a toll, like on me mentally, for sure, getting fired. That sucked. And then that fucked up my relationship, you know, because I was in a bum mood and shit went south there. And it's fucking just like, it was just rough. It was a rough fucking year.
How did you get to a point where you felt funny again?
I just didn't stop doing stand-up for a long time. It just didn't stop. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the coolest thing that ever happened in my career that actually gave me the most confidence back was my album got just such good reviews and like was on like a lot of those like best album of the year lists. And that made me feel very good. Like, and it was just like, it was just like a real, like, no, I am funny. It was really nice. I don't know. Just don't let something like when something negative happens, say, fuck you. I'm going to rise above that and be funnier. I don't know. It was just like, I'm not going to let SNL win, even though it's not like they were like trying to kill me. They were just like, yeah, it's just not working out. Like, but I was like, I can't let that be what happened. So I got to turn this into a positive. Yeah.
Thanks so much to Brooks Whelan. And thank you for listening. And if you like this conversation, we'd love to hear from you. You can leave a comment or rate and review us on iTunes, and that little bit of work goes a long way to help other people discover this show. Or if you just want to follow what happens in between episodes, you can always find us on Twitter at CESO Show. That's SEESO Show. You can watch all of Brooks' season of Saturday Night Live on CESO. And you can also find him on Twitter at Brooks Whelan.
Have fun on stage. That's the most important thing. Because if you're not having fun up there, what the fuck are you doing?
Thanks so much for listening. Bye.